We are speaking of our Lord, who declared to enemies, the religious hierarchy of Israel, the scribes, the Pharisees, who were intent upon his death, that he said, "I am the light of the world." What an astounding statement that is for a man to face another man with that truth. "I am the light of the world." Now, in the book of John, he declared him to be "I am" on several occasions, which was so abhorrent to the scribes and the Pharisees, for to declare "I am" is to declare yourself as God. Now, we know that that is true, for Jesus Christ is God, God in the flesh, the Son of God, who came into this world to seek you. He came into this world to seek me. He found me. I responded to his call, and now I'm saved. And I trust that those of you that have responded to his call know you're saved and that you're about the business of the Father. That's what this ministry is about, the business of the Father, the carrying out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our pastor is intent this afternoon to bring the gospel to the ears of those that come to pay honor to this servant of the Lord and pray for him, hold him up in prayer. What a great responsibility it is to spread the gospel word to the lost. So in this chapter 8 of the Gospel of John, Jesus has declared himself to be the light of the world, and that declaration has fallen on ears that operate in the land of the lie. You know, there is such a thing as the land of the lie. Most people on this earth live in that land. They may claim to be Chinese. They may claim to be American. They may claim to be European. But they live in the land of the lie. And in that land, the scribes and the Pharisees claim connection with Father Abraham. But that connection is based only on blood and is no basis for entrance into the presence of God. You know, your parents may be Christians. Your great-grandfather may have been a preacher of the word, going about this land preaching the gospel. But that does not give you entrance into God. For the blood of man is not what God sees. He only sees the blood of Jesus Christ. Only connection with Abraham as the father of faith will bring one into favor with God. Only connection with the sinless blood of his son will bring favor. Don't you want favor with God? I want favor with God. I want God to look upon me favorably, and God looks upon me favorably when he looks at me through the blood of his son. That's how he looks upon me favorably. There's a lens of blood that I must be on this opposite side of. When God looks upon me, he sees the blood. Now, Jesus Christ does not mince words with these false teachers. That word mince, remember mincemeat pie? Oh, that was such a popular thing in our day, but now it's out of favor. But Jesus Christ does not mince words. Mince is to take and divide up into small parts. It's to be sensitive in your words. It's to be soft in your words. But Jesus Christ does not mince words with these false teachers, these manipulators of the Word of God, these men who bind other men to themselves through the false doctrine of a man-made religion, a religion of the works of man. and not mincing words, which we are so prone to do. My, this is the age of minced words. Don't you get sick of all the political correctness of this age where people tiptoe around you? You know, it used to be that rebuke was more normal. If you were rude, someone would tell you you're rude. But today, if you're rude, people say, oh, you're so polite. Somehow, it all gets twisted out. But he tells them the truth and connects them. Not Abraham as their father. Can you imagine this, how astounding this? But to their true father, the father of lies, their father, the devil. So he declares in no uncertain words, the words of John 8:44. And our Lord looks him in the eye. You know, when you talk to someone, look him in the eye. Dare to look someone in the eye. Connect with them through the eyes. The eyes are the window of the soul, you know. Some people, they look down and they turn their head and look him in the eye. And I'm sure Jesus Christ looked him in the eye and he said, ye are of your father, the devil. How'd you like to hear that? And the lusts of your father ye will do. Now, what kind of lusts do you have? Well, that'll tell you who your father is. Do you have a lust for the faith? Do you have a desire for the faith? Or do you have a lust for the things of this world? That'll tell you who your father is. He doesn't stop there, for he says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. There's no truth in Satan. There's no truth in the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. You see, his own are of the lie. They operate in the land of the lie, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, this is the climax. This is the peak that the Lord was climbing, for our Lord is fearless. Oh, what a fearless leader our Lord Jesus Christ is. Get backbone. If you want backbone, study the life of Christ. Be like Christ. Let the Holy Spirit conform you to the image of Christ. And what will you have? You'll have some backbone. You'll have some courage to speak up for the Lord and to be his servant. But he had found nothing to their claim that they were the children of Abraham. He had demonstrated that Abraham's God was not their father. Oh, how they claimed Abraham. Abraham's our father. No, he's not. Now he tells them plainly, without softening the message, without worrying about their feelings. You know, you can worry about someone's feelings until they go to hell. Sometimes you've got to step on their toes. Sometimes you've got to kick them in the shins. Maybe not literally, but figuratively. So he tells them plainly, without worrying about their feelings, that they are of their father, the devil. My, how this world is filled with folks whose father is the devil. He faces them with truth about themselves, for this is always the gospel's goal. You know, the preacher preaches sin. The preacher tells you what the Bible says about your condition. He doesn't puff you up. He tells you what the Bible says about your condition. And the condition is that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're undone. You have no favor with God. It was obvious to Jesus Christ who their father was by their character and by their fruit. Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. But it was not obvious to the Jews. They were self-deceived. They had wicked and deceitful hearts. They opposed the truth. They upheld the lie. And therefore they were kin to the father of lies. You know, the devil planted the first seed of lies in the garden. Remember that old serpent? Oh, he came to Eve, the weaker vessel, and he said, "Ye shall be as gods." Oh, I want to be as gods. I see God. We walk with God in the cool of the day. I want to be like God. And he promised that. What was it? It was a lie. Was it not? So he showed himself as the father of lies. He birthed lies in the garden. The lies came out in the garden. He birthed them. He was the father of lies. So Jesus is telling them, you are controlled by that one who was a murderer from the beginning, the one who brought death into the world in the garden. You know, all death on the earth is laid at your father's door. Brought death into the world. Brought death into the world. He's a mass murderer. He's the murderer of the human race. He's the reason for every graveyard. Every time you pass the graveyard, you think Satan's lie caused this. These religious Jews loved darkness instead of light. Why? Their deeds were evil. Oh, you know, if your deeds are evil, you love darkness. Therefore, they love to operate in the realm of the prince of darkness. In this realm, the devil blinds their minds. He directs their daily walk. He works in them his will to do evil, to walk independent of the Father, to walk dependent upon the devil. Jesus knew, without a doubt, that they were of the devil because of lust of their father they were doing. Their fruit revealed the kind of tree from which they came. Have you ever had a fruit tree? Your wife brings in an orange. Oh, was that off the pear tree? What are you, an ignorant? This is an orange. Where do oranges come from? They come from the orange tree. So you see the fruit of people. Where do they come from? Oh, they attend the church down the road. But look at their fruit. Don't look at their words. Don't hear their words. Look at their fruit. And their fruit may reveal that they're a child of God, or their fruit may reveal that they're a child of the devil. And Jesus Christ knew that those that faced him were of the devil. They were the tares that always followed the true wheat. They were the counterfeits. They were the children of the apostasy, enemies of the true gospel, and purveyors of the false gospel, very religious, but very lost. I'm sick of religious, but lost. Acting as if they know God when they know not God. It's obvious in their fruit. Oh, they may attend church on Sunday and be sweet and be kind and smile at you, but the rest of the week they're in hell. So Jesus continues in John 8:45, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Well, here's the answer. You can tell the truth. And what will be the response of those of the lie? They believe it not. Those of the lie cannot believe truth. They're unable to believe truth. This is the nature of the unregenerate. This is the principle on which you can count. They refuse to believe the Son of God simply because he tells the truth. How could they know truth when their father was the father of lies? Children of the father of lies only know lies and cannot know truth. They're unable to know truth. How do you know truth? Ye must be born again into truth. That's simple, isn't it? That's the word of God. You are unable to know truth without God doing something in your behalf to enable you to know truth. And that's the new birth of the Spirit. In their natural state, they cannot know truth. And if they cannot know truth, then the only thing left for them is to know error. That's the principle of the natural state. The only thing left for them is to believe the lie. That is why man, you wonder, you know, my wife and I always say this to each other. How can, look at that bird. Look at him fly. Look at that hummingbird. Come to the hummingbird feeder. We have these feeders outside of our windows, and we can watch these creatures come. Beautiful feathers and beautiful flowers. And they're able to manipulate their wings in such a way as to do all sorts of magnificent things. And we look at them and we say, how can anybody not believe that there was a creator? Well, if you believe the lie, you're unable to believe. You're unable to believe. And that's why they will give heed to the most absurd and ridiculous propositions and arguments. How can men look at every last thing around them and deny the God who made all things? How can you look at your mate? How can you look at your children? How can you look at your face in the mirror? How can you look at your hand and believe those things? To those who know the truth, that conclusion is absolutely absurd, and it's almost comical. You almost laugh as God does. He laughs at their calamity. Why? It's so absurd, the lie. Why does man believe he evolved from apes? Why are apes still apes? Why didn't they evolve to the most intelligent creature such as me? Why are they still apes? Why does man believe in himself as God? Why does man believe that there is no such thing as sin? My goodness, as they chop heads off in the Middle East, 47 executed in Saudi Arabia, most of them by beheading. Why does man believe he can purchase status with God by works? Now just think of that. What need does God have of man's works? Does God need your works? He needs nothing from you. But all these questions, this is a hard message. I'm sorry, but this is a hard message. It's very negative, is it not? But we need negative to bring us up into the positive. All these questions are answered because the natural man is not of God and knows not truth and can only operate in the world of lies. This answers your question about these who refuse to know truth. They can't. Truth is given to us in the new birth. Truth is given to us in the transformation from death to life. We move into a new realm of truth. We move into Jesus Christ. But Psalm 58:3 tells us, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Oh, these new babies. Your new baby will be so beautiful, so wonderful. It will cry for its mama. But the Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They come into this world with sin. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking lies. That's the Bible. That's Psalm 58:3. Do you believe it? Psalm 62:4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Oh, the hypocrites of the world. And Isaiah 28:15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the following overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. Can you imagine saying that in that state? We have made lies our refuge. How'd you like to be under the refuge of lies? and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. As it says in Revelation, as the mountains fall on them, they hide in the mountains from the glory of God. And 2 Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning and never, what? Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You cannot know truth without God transforming you into a creature of truth. Ye must be born again. Now, if you're operating in the world of lies and you think that you can reach God in the world of lies, you're wrong. Ye must be born again. So only if Jesus were to be false, then they would believe him. When truth comes about and shines light on their lies, it only arouses murder and hatred in their hearts. This is what we see in the Gospels. Truth comes. Does it give light to their hearts? No. It arouses murder. It arouses hatred. It stirs up the land of the lie in their lives. So lost people so easily believe the lie because they are of their father, the father of lies. There is no truth in him, and there is no truth in them, for like father, like son. So Jesus knows their character. He knows their heart. And the character of children of the devil is to refuse to accept the truth. So Jesus continues to speak the truth in John 8:46-47. And he asks this question. I would never dare to ask this question, nor would you dare to ask this question. None of us would dare unless we were false. But he says, which of you convinceth me of sin? Would you dare to ask that question? Oh, not me. And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You know, I'm of God. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I hear God's words. Do you hear God's words? When you open up the book, is God talking to you? Are these words for you? Are they personal? If you're of God, they're personal. This is his love letter to me. Oh, it's a wonderful love letter. Are they personal? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The person that does not hear these words is not of God. That's an absolute. Jesus Christ said it. It's an absolute. Don't be confused. If a person rejects this book, if a person doesn't love this book, if a person doesn't study this book, they're not of God. That's what it says. I'm sorry, but that's what it says. So he challenges them to point the finger at a single sin in his life. Here he claims moral perfection. In asking that question, he claims moral perfection. Here he claims to be without spot or blemish. He says, take the entire Mosaic law and test my life against it and find one error or sin. I challenge you. Which of you convinceth me of sin? See if there is any deviation from the upright. Go to my home in Nazareth. Talk to my mother. You know, if anyone knows your sins, it's your mother. She's raised you since you were a baby. Oh, the mother knows the sins of the children. Sometimes she doesn't admit it to others, but down deep in her heart, she knows. Go to my brothers. Oh, your brothers will always tell on you, won't they? They'll tattle on you. Billy did something this morning. And they're not interested in truth. They're basically interested in vengeance. But go to my brothers. Go to my neighbors. I've built things in the carpenter shop for my neighbors. I've related to my neighbors walking around Nazareth. The people know me. Go to my neighbors and see what transgressions I have committed. Not only to Nazareth, go to Cana. Go to Bethsaida. Go to Galilee. Trace my footsteps and talk to the people who have listened to me and have seen my testimony to see if you can find any flaw in my conduct. So he dares to make the challenge, a challenge we would never make, for it would be blasphemous, would it not? But Jesus Christ is the only one who ever lived in a human body to dare to make a statement like this. Which of you convinceth me of sin? So Jesus knew who he was. You know, there are people that say Jesus didn't know who he was. But Jesus knew who he was. And he knew that God cannot be convicted of sin. So he can ask the question in a way that should convince them that they are not of God, that they are not children of God. And he says, you don't believe me. Why don't you believe me? But he answers the question. It was rhetorical, was it not? Because you are not of God. Oh, how bold he is. Here he stands before him, the scribes and the Pharisees. They have their beautiful outfits on. They have their beautiful robes on. The bells move and clink, tinkle as they travel. So everybody knows the Pharisees are here. Oh, and they have the beautiful headgear. All the colors. But he tells them, you're not of God. And those not of God cannot know truth. They cannot believe truth. Because they cannot hear truth. How do you hear truth? You have to have ears to hear. Jesus Christ said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. What was he inferring there? He was inferring that there were people that did not have ears to hear. How do you get ears to hear? You've got to be given ears to hear by the new birth. John 3:34 says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. And John 18:37, every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do you hear the voice of Christ? Oh, I don't hear it. Well, then you're not of God. If I preach truth in accordance with the scriptures, and you do not believe my words, then I can say by the authority of Jesus Christ that you are not of God. If I'm true to the scriptures, if I'm true to the word of God, and you refuse to believe that, then I can say by the authority of the scriptures, by the authority of Jesus Christ, you're not of God. And so said Jesus. But then answered the Jews in 844. They had no argument, so they diverted it. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Well, you know, Samaritans all have devils. You see a Samaritan. Oh, don't talk to that Samaritan. They have a devil. The pot is calling the kettle black. Now, that's an old saying, because nowadays you don't have any black kettles, do you? We operate in such clean kitchens. You know, the devil takes away those good sayings, doesn't he, by modernizing and technology. But the pot is calling the kettle black when they say the Samaritan has a devil. They ought to know. They've got one too. But this is simply a diversion on the part of the Jews. My, that's a common thing. Have you ever said to a person, you know, I want to tell you the gospel, and the first thing about a gospel, the gospel is that you're a sinner. The Bible declares us to be sin. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Well, how's the weather today? Where have you been? Have you been on vacation today? What do you think of the Bears? You know, some diversion. And they start diverting. They can't answer that probing question. You're not of God. You're of your father, the devil. So they resort to sidetrack. He had just declared that they were not the true children of Abraham. He also declared that their father was the devil. So their retort was as a child would retort. That's how a child would retort. You know, you're not a pure Jew. How could you talk that way? You're not a pure Jew. You must be from the Samaritans. And you must be a demon possessed to talk about the Jews the way you do. You are not one of us, having consorted with the Samaritans. Remember that Jesus had talked to the woman at the well and won her to himself. A Samaritan. You can't win a Samaritan to yourself. Well, Jesus is a Samaritan. Jesus is a Chinese. Jesus is a European. Jesus is all mankind. For he's the creator of all mankind. No proper Jew would do what you have done with Samaritans. Their hatred of Samaritans was bitter, was complete, and it was typical of the bigotry of the Pharisees. So in John 8:49, Jesus responds, and he says, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. So he doesn't address the charge that he is a Samaritan. For Jesus, as I said, is the light of the whole world. He is the Savior of all men, including Samaritans. You know, we ought to remember that if you have a bias, if you have a prejudice, remember that Jesus is the light of the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and all men are lost. All women are lost, and he came to seek and to save the world. So he was prudent in his words. He was always prudent. He didn't give time to face ridiculous charges. So he truthfully denies that he has a devil or a demon. He honors his Father by telling the truth about men. He doesn't go about trying to impress men, trying to gain their favor, but he tells the truth about men. He does not flatter in order to gain supporters. My, how common that is, isn't it? I want supporters, so I'll flatter you. If I can flatter you out of $1,000, that's a success. But he doesn't flatter, but he shows and depicts man's fallen nature in humble terms. You know, that's our obligation. We're not here to pat people on the back, to puff people up, but we're here to show man's fallen nature that they may rise to be with Christ in the final time. So by his statement that he honors the Father, he shows that he does not seek the honor of men for himself, for that is not his motive. You know, one who is moved by the devil is inflated with pride and seeks honor and fame for himself, for that is natural from the father of lies. That is how Satan operates. That is his world. You see it in his world. The world system is based upon that. Inflate with pride. And this he did not do. The fact is, he was the opposite of this, since he took great effort to turn eyes toward God and away from him. For he said in John 8:50, bringing this emphasis by saying, and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. He sought the Father's glory. I came to do his will, not my will, but thy will. And even though God's will was for him to be stretched out on that cruel cross and his hands and his feet punctured by the metal of the Romans, bleeding for me, he sought God's glory. If he sought his own glory, he would not have followed the course he was on that led to his death on that Roman cross. He sought not his own glory, but he was an example to us of one who humbles himself and one who will be lifted up by the Father at the appointed time. You know, our life is to live a humble life and let God lift us up. The father of lies says, live an exalted life, but he never tells you about what happens after that. You know, God says that he'll lift you up, but he'll put down those of pride. Now, he knew that this was in the plan of God, and he knew that the Son was to be glorified, but it was in the future. It was an act of faith. It was an example of faith on our part. You know, you live this life for God, and God will lift you up. You sacrifice this life, and God will lift you up. You care for the things of God, for those are the things of eternal worth. But that was to be the Father's doing, not his own. He committed himself and he put himself in the Father's hands. And Jesus Christ knew that this was not the time for his glory, but this was the time to glorify the Father. And that's the same thing with us. This is not the time for us to receive glory, but this is the time to glorify the Father. That's what these folks in this ministry are about. That's what these folks from China are about. To bring glory to the Father, for the time of glory is in the future with the Father. He was doing the Father's will, and they were treating him with contempt. For that is what the children of the Father of lies do to the truth. They despise the truth. For the truth opposes the lie. And that's their father. So we'll stop here, thanking the Lord for the scriptures, thanking the Lord for the message of Jesus Christ. It was a hard message, but it's a message that we need. It's a message that we need. Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful, Father, for the preaching, the teaching of the Word. We're thankful for those in this congregation, this class, that daily give their lives for this purpose, for this message to be proclaimed. And do bless them, Father, as this gospel is proclaimed. And we pray, Father, especially for our pastor as he faces this a crowd this afternoon who have come to honor our brother. Do bless him, Father, with the words to find a home in people's hearts, that they might be born again into the family of God and bring glory to the Father with their lives. And bless us, Father. May we have hearts to receive the Word of God, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.